It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey everybody, this is Mankin Holm, aka Tanner, or Dunrell, the kind of head DM slash community organizer, whatever the hell I am in Border Kingdoms.
I'm Cormac, Escape from the Interdeck, and at the moment I'm a coding contractor for Border Kingdoms.
I'm Kevin Blake, also known as Johannes, originally as well from the Escape from the Interdeck server, and I'm contracted under the Border Kingdoms staff.
Hey, this is Brian, aka Sir Brian, from the Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 165th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the new upcoming title from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, in today's episode, we have a great interview coming up with Mankin Holm from the Border Kingdoms. It's a new Persistent World for Neverwinter Nights 1 that's going to be going to open beta on July 20th. We got those guys coming up for an interview here shortly. But first, we got some news to go over in the Neverwinter Nights community. As we haven't really had a chance lately to get into the news, so I'm going to go ahead and get into that now and talk about some of the things that I found on the vault that were pretty cool. You know, some new Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 updates. Getting in Neverwinter Nights 1, the first thing is the compatibility packages for Project Q version 1.5 by Paul St. Marie. This package provides a series of modifications for popular external custom content packages to make them compatible with Project Q 1.5. It's really interesting things this to help, you know, integrate some of the Project Q work with other projects. More details, you can check out their website and stuff I have posted on the show notes. Also, we have Reforged Light Blades by The Amethyst Dragon. It's a simple package that contains completely remade models and all new textures for kukris, daggers, short swords, and rapiers. There are two options when using this upgrade, hack or override. I like options. Hopefully you do too. Coming on to the June Custom Content Challenge. Theme of this month's Custom Content Challenge was animal-related stuff. Theme had a lot of results and a lot of participants. Those who contributed actually had some stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole list here, but there's it's posted in our show notes. But there's a whole lot of cool stuff that was put in for these animal-related themed products that they placed into the Custom Content Challenge. So thank you to everybody who participated. You know, the community definitely is benefiting from these additions to the Neverwinter Nights 1 game system. We have a new persistent world for Neverwinter Nights 1 called Ancient Lands of Edon by the Eden Project team. It's a world of high magic, a world of dragons, a world of great heroes and dark lords alike. Welcome to the Ancient Lands of Edon. Originally based off of Nordok, Edon has since taken a path of its own. The great drow wars have ended and the surface of the Underdark held by a tentative truce, though there are still some that would like to break this truce. The lands are currently under attack by a race of strange demons known as the Scourge, which claim to be useful and destroy what is not lost. For all the efforts of Edenites, there seems to be no end to the Scourge, at least no one that has been found yet. So it looks like a very cool persistent world. I checked it out. Definitely some really cool things to be had there. Check out their website. It's on our show notes as well. For Neverwinter Nights 2, we got a new module, Raiders of the Lost Tomes, by Darren L. Synopsis is, our story is of two souls linked by a common hardship and joined in adventure. One, the Academy Scholarship Wizard and Doc Rat Derek Munsford, the other being your character. Derek Munsford is a confused fifth-year magic student at the Academy of Neverwinter, trying to survive under his strict housemaster, legendary Padres Pelem. He accidentally adventures in order to sell a few gems, and with the help of some of his classmates and childhood friends, as well as the fellow prisoner he meets in the Ruins of Ember, Derek becomes one of the smartest students in his class, gathering Padres, the legendary Tomes of Prothesis. Definitely worth checking out. Very nice module. Looked at some of the screenshots. Really cool. Really well done. As always, I never fail to amaze me, you know, some of the content that people are still kicking out for Neverwinter Nights 2 platform, as well as Neverwinter Nights 1 for the custom content. Well, with that, you know, we don't really have any other updates today in this episode. for news, but definitely stay tuned in for the interview with Make It Home and Company from the Border Kingdoms. Well, tonight's episode, we have a follow-up interview of the creators of the Border Kingdom. It's a new persistent world for Neverwinter Nights 1 that's going to be an open beta on July 20th. Tanner and company, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Really appreciate you coming back. I mean, the last interview, you know, gave us a lot of things to look forward to from your upcoming persistent world. And, you know, we had a lot of feedback on it and people really interested. And, you know, getting in and checking it out because of how original what it's going to be and, you know, all the good stuff that has to be with it. You know, just to get started, maybe you want to get started and actually go back and talk a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you come into the Border Kingdoms project.
Yeah, man, I guess. You know, 6-7 months ago, I approached Ben and Azador, the project head, and I'm like, hey, man, really interested in this. I've been building persistent worlds for the past, like, I'm going to say 3-4 years, and not with very much success until now. This is probably the most successful that any project I've done. I mean, we have a whole team. I'm pretty sure you guys at Realm of Trinity know that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, it's really hard to, I guess, this project's been going on for like 2 years, I guess, off and on. And I came in at past 7 months ago and, you know, been involved since then. You know, our forums are seeing over 100 people a day looking at them.
Wow.
In the Neverwinter Nights community, you know, and I'm thinking it's going to be a big server.
I agree. I think it is too. I mean, coming from an NWN2 perspective as well, I mean, just to have that kind of tread out there for your persistent world, you know, just the forums right now is very promising. Totally.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys know, especially Neverwinter Nights right now, just like dwindling in players, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely something, you know, that you bring that up, but it's something I definitely think I'm starting to see ever since Diablo 3 release and a couple other games, Skyrim, for, you know,
yeah,
comes to mind.
That's the number one thing that happens, actually. Some big game will come out and your player base will just drop.
Yeah, we'll get decimated, and we did, you know. And the only people that remain are the diehards, and what you end up having is, you know. But here's the thing, though. Those games, especially like Diablo 3, those are one-and-done games.
Those are limited respawn, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be back. That's what I say. It's just like Terminator.
The big thing for EFU we found, actually, was Skyrim, actually. For like months after Skyrim came out, we had a huge dip in players.
Yes, absolutely. That's a huge game, and it takes so long to finish.
Yeah. Kevin and I came from Escape from the Underdark, and about a couple of months, I guess Kevin kind of retired from DMing there. I still DM there from time to time. But we both kind of wanted a new project, I suppose. So we went and sought out Prolog, Prolog WoW, which is a WoW emulation server, or an RP server. And we got on the crew there, and we're in community management there now. But I guess from our introductory posts, which said that we had coded for Neverwinter Nights, I think it was Tanner who found out that who passed our names on to Ben, rather.
Well, you guys were like, you said you're from Neverwinter Nights, you said you're scripters, and you're coming to Prolog, and I'm like, this is a sign from the heavens, like.
Yeah, so I got a PM from him, and we talked a bit, and got into a Skype call one day, and just decided we'd help with the project, new contract.
Yeah, we especially have the scripters from, especially what we're trying to do. Like, we're area designers and DMs, and I guess we know some basic stuff, but we're nowhere near these guys are in scripting, and it's absolutely helped us go forward with our systems.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, we came in at a time, just about at a time, it seems, when you guys needed. I guess the most complex system, Kevin, the death system?
Yes, it's always a massive headache in Neverwinter Nights. So many things which can go wrong.
Yeah. The death system has to do so much upon a player dying, whether a player dies to a monster or another player, and the what drops into the player's pack, whether the player
died in transition. Whether they've died in transition, like whether
whether
they failed to properly get transported to the Fugu area,
or hooked to their corpse to respawn, where they can respawn. Just all sorts of horrible things that can go wrong.
Inventory transferring is especially troublesome.
I'm sure, like, if you've DM'd yourselves, like, no, there are very few death systems that are like tremendously well. So that always, if you get a bug with the death system, like it can't find the corpse or something. It's just it's just horrible to sort out.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We got all sorts of, I guess, systems now. I mean, it's like right now, the scripters now, just we have all these possibilities in our head. We have like a job system, which is based off Isendur, Xenograph Arms, where this is yet to be implemented in the game yet, but these guys are working on it as we speak. Pretty much they clock in at, say, hour 7, and they clock out at hour 18, and this is just supplemental system, and it could be anywhere from a man-at-arms to like a caravan guard to a street merchant, and they get paid X amount of gold per hour, and at the end of the day, they clock out and they get gold. It's just like a supplemental system for players who earn money that want to be like commoners and stuff, you know?
That's interesting. That's definitely an original idea, no doubt about that. Yeah, I like it. Looking at from our last interview, like I know that you guys have been working on this pretty nonstop since then. Your open beta starts on what, July 20th?
Oh yeah, everybody get there. I mean,
yeah. You want to talk a little bit about how all the stuff that you've been doing since our last interview, and how people can get in on the open beta.
It's open to everybody. They can come on our website, download the hacks a couple days ahead of time. We're giving out 3 new copies of Neverwinter Nights 1 Diamond Edition, I think on the 16th, for anybody that joins recently and posts at least 3-5 times in the forums. It's going to be huge for an open beta. I mean, this is probably one of the most hyped up servers I've ever been involved with, for players at least, because it's been in development for the past 2 years, you know. I can tell you that it's going to be one of a kind for it being a Neverwinter Nights 1. I mean, you're going to have the ability for players to have kingdoms, innovative scripts and designs, low magic. It's a setting all in itself that hasn't been touched very much on the Neverwinter Nights, you know?
I think it's certainly a ballsy project, and there are a lot of really good ideas poured into it. And
I mean, all the creators, I guess, especially me, Ben, Mark, all the creators of this place, is like, we come from servers that, like Ravenloft, and I don't should say any names, but it's just we come from servers that don't give us very much freedom in terms of what we want to do. And I guess we got tired of it, and we wanted to expand upon the players' ideas. And we're tired of seeing favoritism through DMs. We're tired of seeing all this stuff. And like, so those guys were like, let's make a server. And, you know, I joined on. They have the same philosophy as me, and here we are.
Well, yeah, and it's funny you say that. I mean, that's the exact same thing that we did in 2008. You know, when we started development of ROT, it was the fact that, just like you said, you know, you go out there, you look at what's going on with the other persistent worlds, and you get in, you see the DM favoritism, or you see the restrictions, or you see you see a need. And to take the initiative like you've done with the Border Kingdoms, I think is a great thing for the community all the way around, because what that does is not only do you create something that is innovative and fresh and unique, you've also really held the rest of the community accountable in coming up with more things ourselves, because undoubtedly that they're going to see this great piece of work and they're going to say, we need to get some stuff moving here.
It isn't that too, like, it's just, it's the idea, it's that too, but it's the idea, like, as soon as people come susceptible to new ideas, especially if it's on a server of 30 players average on a day, like say big time like Amia or Ravenloft, I mean, more ideas are going to start to spread throughout the community, you know, and that's going to lead to more fresh ideas, you know. It spirals all around the Neverwinter Nights community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Neverwinter Nights 1 is definitely ripe for that type of innovation, because first of all, you have the flexibility with the engine and all the extensions that are available now. You have a ton of custom content available. It's pretty much a lot easier to mod than other environments like Neverwinter Nights 2. I mean, you have a lot of things going for you in that respect. And plus, you have how many years of experience?
I mean, I have three to four years just trying to do my own thing and always failing at it. But now I got a place where I can actually be successful, because, you know, I got a team now to back me and help me in my flaws, and I help their flaws too. So,
well, yeah, it is a team effort. There's no doubt about that.
We have quite a few years' experience, I suppose.
Yeah, having scripters is a miracle. How rare are scripters at your project, Brian?
Right now, one.
Yeah, they're kind of hard to get, yeah, aren't they?
I've had more that they dropped off. You know, I've wrote most of the scripting in the game as it is, so it's not really a big deal. But you know, I also do build almost all the boards and everything else too. So at this point of the game, you know, so it's kind of it is great to see that you have a team behind you, and that's what's going to drive your success. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we're pretty dedicated on getting jobs done. I mean, the systems that we got, we're trying to implement right now, the job system, like for example, one of the new changes that we've done over the past, which I should have told you about, is we're completely getting rid of leveling completely on our server. There's going to be no leveling. All players are start at level 8. That's what they're going to get. And how progression works in the server is what's called renown and reputation. And renown being the majority of what happens is, say your character takes out a political opponent, or your character wins a tournament, or whatever your character's goals are, the DM will award you X amount of renown, and it's a system out of like 200 renown. And that's also tied into another system, this renown, called the retainer system.
Mm-hmm.
And what the retainer system is kind of a cool way to say that you're a bit more famous, you're a bit more respected. What's your renown in the Border Kingdoms? And you can have literally about 40 soldiers follow you around as bodyguard, you know, and it'll be your like personal, what do you call it, entourage, pretty much.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's something that I get a lot of questions about, you know, regularly, you know, about companions, retainers, and things like that, wanting to see more in that way in a persistent world setting. And I think that you having put that type of a system in place, I think that's definitely something that players are definitely going to appreciate and definitely, you know, flock to.
We put focus on the players, I guess, because we set out this, it's kind of like a sandbox in a way, but it's not really kind of a sandbox. I call it a sandbox, but we have a setting in place where players can implement and go in and do whatever they want. They can have a brothel. They can have, this isn't a social server, mind you, but they can have it's a bit of a mature setting. They can have a thieves' den. They can go and lead their own kingdoms, and it's just this dynamic world that explores, I guess, the true face of humanity in a way. I mean, you got magic so low that seeing magic on the streets is like rare. You're like, oh, hey, look at that! It's like, what's that? And even sometimes that can be construed violently, because there's groups of like even witch hunters that frequent the border kingdoms, and there's like an Order of the Pale Wolf, which is like this human zealots that believe humanity is, I guess, supreme to every race, and they go to villages and cities, and they ask tribute for the true sons of humanity. If they don't get tribute, they declare them supporter elves and whatnot, and then they burn, crucify the city. I mean, it's we're trying to get all these historical inspirations into our module and stay true to a setting, and we got stuff from Transylvania to Italy, but of course it's not the exact same thing. We just modify these kingdoms and factions based on it, and that's what we have for like our base setting. You know? And players can interact however they want. They can make their own kingdoms. They can do whatever they want. They can explore. They can become adventurers, mercenaries, kings. They just have to work at it, and whatever they do, you know, output and put goals in here and follow your character's destiny or fate, I guess, you know?
yeah. No, I like that a lot. I mean, I think the fact that, you know, I think that one of the things that stands out to me when you're talking about this, about not having leveling on the server and, you know, starting everybody at the same kind of a place, you know, level 8, you know, you look at that and you're like, wow, that's a pretty great idea. Because, I mean, you think about some of the things that plague, or at least, you know, that are part of a server that are constantly having to deal with or whatever, is always, you know, you got the people who always have to go grinding forever, and I don't know. There's always some element of grinding. There's always some element of metagaming. There's always some element of those things. But when you have a setup where you've kind of removed that by putting it the way you did and actually rewarding the players on what they're accomplishing,
We're trying to set our players up for success. I mean, the amount of political intrigue and ideas that players can spring up for their head will actually be rewarded, and that's how they're progressing the server.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something that, you know, people listen to this, and I hope that, you know, they get the message that this is something totally different. I mean, this is something totally cool and different, and definitely worth checking out because it's not the same thing that we've seen over and over again.
Well, I mean, it's to the level of, I don't know. I think that Neverwinter Nights really, I guess we need, I think we need some fresh ideas. I mean, I noticed that the server list is starting to stagnate, especially on Neverwinter Nights 1. I don't see as many new servers popping up, you know. Is it the same for Neverwinter Nights 2?
Yeah, 2 is, there's not a whole lot of new server development. What's happening as of late, and this is something that, you know, we talked about before, is that you have a couple servers that kind of sucked in the remaining Neverwinter 2 players, and they kind of stuck there. It's like, you know, like RP, very low low to mid magic, and because they suck the players in through their name or just, you know, that they've been around a little bit. You got that going on with the player attrition from new games, that basically the other servers that are out there are basically done. Because what ends up happening is you get new players, and we drove a ton of new players into our server, but the problem is we can't keep them because you get on there, all there's only 5-10 people on, versus you go to somewhere else that's got 50 to 60 on. And they say, well, yeah, this is a great server, and you know, you've got a lot of great stuff. He said, but, you know, we'd like to have a little bit more people on to do RP with or whatever else on top of the game itself that you've done. And it's hard to maintain. So when you bring up about being stagnant and Neverwinter 1, and, you know, you're seeing that. I see the same thing in 2, but it's a little more dire in 2 because I see a plethora of servers that I'm going to end up collapsing because of the fact that people won't venture off of the Prime 2 servers and to get into some of the other ones. I think that's...
Oh, exploring's huge. I love to explore servers. That's one of my favorite things to do in Neverwinter Nights 1 is explore. But,
yep.
I haven't seen any new stuff come up in so long. I've been to all the communities, you know, almost all the servers, and it's like, okay, well, I think I'm putting my mind put in now, and, you know, we're giving out 3 new copies of Neverwinter Nights. We're doing ads. I have an ad up on the vault right now.
Yep, I've seen that.
I'm just trying to push as much new blood in this community as possible because I think that's what both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 could use right now in general.
Well, that's what we try to do. I mean, that's what, you know, when we went out to Origins this year, you know, to do the live podcast out there. I mean, that was one of the reasons why we went out, because we wanted to corral people who aren't in the community. You know, you can go to an electronic gaming forum somewhere, and that's what you're going to see. People who are familiar already with Neverwinter Nights 2 and just choose not to play it, or 1 for that matter, and choose not to play it because they want to play other games. That's not going to really do you any good. So by going out there and corralling, you know, pen and paper players and, you know, saying, hey, do you realize what's going on here out here in the community? And you can actually be playing pen and paper type of game electronically because there's all these new systems that allow you to RP online. You don't need to go over somebody's house. You don't have to always have a group of buddies to play something with. You can jump in on an online campaign.
Yeah, I guess campaigns are huge, especially if you're just stepping out of, you have no idea about it, and you're jumping out of from going on a tabletop to going online, you know?
Yeah.
It's a huge step.
Yeah, and I think it also comes back to, like, what you're doing. I mean, you got to figure, there's always the persistent worlds that, you know, that are just open-ended areas and got some mobs in them and no real story behind them, but let the players, you know, come up with a story. But what you don't see very much of is servers that actually have it built into actual full campaigns. You know, I think that, you know, or like what you're doing is where you actually can go in.
Well, we have a setting. We have a setting, right. And like what's going on in the world and a world designed. But of course, the world's going to revolve whether the players do stuff or not. But if the players do stuff, they can influence the world how matter they want, you know? It's not a railroad at all.
Exactly. See, you know, this is where I think this delineates your server between what's been done before. I think the difference here is that you are making these real effects in the world that are permanent and lasting, and you're gaining this popularity, you're gaining these reputation points, you're gaining these people, entourage of people to follow you, and stuff like that. Whereas if you go somewhere else, okay, I'm standing outside this building and, you know, I'm bullcrapping with somebody, and, you know, or DMs have to lead in events and stuff like that. I mean, I think what you're explaining is a system that's much more encompassing than that, than even small plot lines. You're looking at it like a real setting, like a real environment.
Oh yeah, we're looking at a real, I guess, dynamic of, like, there, I think our area size is about, I think we have well over 200 areas, 300 areas, something like that, and we've been working on it for, at least those guys, Mark and Ben, are working on it for 2 years. I've been working on it for 6-7 months. We don't even have everything in yet, and we take so much time building our areas and designing them to be up to standard. It takes so long. You can ask us, the scriptures in here, like, they've seen some of our areas, and we try to detail as much as we can. But it's like, it's so hard to continue to do that, but we're going to keep doing that anyways. But if our players are able to come into a world where it actually looks authentic, like, immersion is huge for us. We want the players to feel like they're actually there. Like, we take historical references and inspirations for a reason, you know? Like, when a player goes into a city, you know, it's going to feel like you're walking into a city. And especially during the age, like, you can go to Mauleon and, or you could go to Derelisk, and it'll feel like you're walking into whatever city or historical inspiration you're walking into. And it's really interesting to see how the players will react to the given, I guess, factions and stuff, because there's so much tension too. What I hate most about some, I'm kind of getting off on a spiel here, but I dislike some servers is because it's like, everybody hangs out at this one spot, you know, and us at the Border King were like, man, I don't like that. Like, it's just like, we all go to this, everybody goes to the bar and drinks ale, and everybody's a friend at the end of the day. But really, we want to add tensions. Like, we want to have, like, some player that comes high up in Felsharoon, and then there's another one at Derelisk. When they meet, they're political adversaries, you know, or even cool, you know, the tension between players. I mean, we actually have permadeath. If you get killed by a player, you're dead, you know. But that's a harsh rule, but it makes your character so much more meaningful, especially right. for new players, you know.
Yeah, we have that rule on EFU. Death was just death.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people, and I think we talked about this in our last interview, was, you know, a lot of people talk about the permadeath, you know, and they hear about that, that turns people off and stuff. But I really strongly think that it really depends on the setting that you're in and how it is and how it all works out. I don't think
it works in the retainer system too, especially for us, man. Like, it's like we have a special retainer called Bodyguard, and it's like there are certain types of retainers you can get when you get more renown and stuff, or you can other stuff too. But Bodyguard, for example, actually is kind of like a stone skin. They'll take damage, like, it'll be actually as if the bodyguards are protecting you. They'll start taking damage before you take damage.
I got you. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's a different way of doing it too. I mean, once again, you just detailed another unique way of handling things.
Well, it's realistic. I mean, if you're in a bar and then some guys brought a sword out and you had two bodyguards with you and you're some knight or something, your bodyguards step in to protect you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
totally.
They can't do very much offensive or defensive, but they're just like there to take damage, kind of. But other than that, I mean, we try to stay realistic in what we do. Like, everybody's level 8, NPCs are balanced. That everything's balanced. We have our own weapon systems, everything that we try to balance historically and realistically for combat. I mean, let's say you're really cool at PvP. You can do all this cool shit. You got a build. But let's say 5 heavily armored footmen come at you, you lose, because it's literally anything over 5 men. Most of the time, you can't beat them. Like, it's realistic. Like, you know, you can't take on an entire army by yourself. No, that's what I really like about it. It's not like, it's something that hasn't been done very often, because most servers you see players take on, when they go into dungeons, they take on hundreds of people. But if there's like 5 or 6 more people coming at you, you're probably not going to make it, you know?
No, definitely so, not.
It's just a different spin on stuff. I'm sorry for interrupting you there. Got on a bit of a big spiel.
No, I think they're all good points. I mean, I think everything you're bringing up is, you know, totally makes total sense. I mean, just the way everything goes. I mean, you know, looking at all you've completed, I mean, now you're ready for the open beta. Just about.
We got so much stuff that we've been trying to rush through. We're like, oh my god, open beta, let's go, everybody. Like, I just don't like. We're saying all this stuff and we're trying to put out all this information. I just don't want players like get so expected that it's going to be like an open game, like ready to go. It's still an open beta, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I mean, you're going to have groups of people going in and doing the play testing and stuff. Now, as far as like bug reporting and ideas, submission stuff, you're going to handle that on your forum, I take it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's going to be role play, and people are going to – it's pretty much in the open server, pretty much. That's pretty much the server's starting, launching, really. It's just open beta because we haven't got anything done. People are going to be bug testing and do like that, you know?
That's what I would expect. Yeah. I figure I'd ask just to see, you know, make sure that, yeah, for people listening so that they know what the idea is, you know.
Start doing stuff, so, yeah, role play.
And the player base really are just the lifeblood of a server, and you know, the bells and whistles on top are just icing on the cake. Like if you take, for instance, EFU, which is a lot of bells and whistles, we often said, actually, that if you took away the bells and whistles, ideally you'd think that the server would still continue to operate quite well based on the strength and the liveliness of its community. And I think in the same sense, even if Water Kingdoms doesn't start with all of the bells and whistles, they can still really propel itself forward and succeed as a...
20 players. I mean, if you get 20 players in the realm list, 20 consistent players every day, you're looking at a normal lifespan of about 15 players online at a time, or 10 players online at a time, especially Neverwinter Nights. You automatically draw a lot of attention on the server list, because that's, you know,
yeah,
you'll be up in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, that's the idea. I think that as much as we don't want it to be that way, I think that that is a way that you draw the most attention, is by, you know, people see how many people are online on your server.
Oh, yeah.
The more you have,
that's obviously the first thing I do when I look at any server list, is I look at players. So
I understand that. I think it really depends on the environment. You know, your Neverwinter 1's a different animal than 2 when it comes to that. I mean, that's one thing. When you have so many different servers available out there, it you see them spread out pretty much. But then when you have one that's kind of sticking out a little bit, or if it's new, and you check out their productions, like I've seen your website, change the topic a little bit. And I looked at your website. I think it looks great, fantastic, well done, you know, very professional. And I think that a lot of that is going to, you know, draw people in too, because, you know, not all of the people that are going to be finding your server are going to be finding it via the game lobby.
If they
see it, they might say, well, I don't know, what is that? You know, they might go sniffing around on the internet to find you, do a Google search. Oh, boom, there's your webpage. Oh, check us out. You know, they got this custom music in place when you come to the site, you know, like, check out the graphics and check how they set everything up. I mean, that kind of stuff, that goes a long way.
We're trying to rework a system by Lord of Worms. He's a big tiles guy, and it's a ship that's going over like in a storm, like literally an ocean storm, and it looks like it's from like 2010 like graphics, and it's so mastered, like it's the boat's like rocking up and down and it's going over this storm, and we want that to be our starting area because it's just absolutely so revolutionary. But we're trying to get a hold of Lord of Worms. If he listens to this, get a hold of us, man. We want to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it sounds really cool. I mean, I know, you know, from making different custom environments and stuff, when you do, you know, come up with something that's totally outside the box, or yeah, like you're talking about, I think that's something you really do want to showcase. I mean, certainly.
Starting area, like first.
Starting area, something. Yeah, yeah. Because the people see that right off the bat. I mean, that's. Yep.
I think it's going to be first impressions. Really, I really do. Like, there's been so much hype on our forums, so much hype going around the community. I got BioWare Social that's looking into it. I got all these links all over the internet. And it's just like, I think it's really going to be when that open beta starts, I think we're going to get at least 20 to 30 players online, and I think that it's going to be first impressions, and I hope that the Border Kingdom holds true to what it's been doing for the past 2 years, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, you know, when you're constantly competing for players that are sticking around or whatever, I think that, you know, the best way to do it is to do what you're doing. Come up with some custom. Come up with something that makes sense. I mean, yeah, anybody can come up with a custom system of something that's cockamamie. But when you're actually coming up with something that's, you know, well thought out, implemented, yep, solid, I think that's what's going to really grab people's attention. Really do.
Well, thanks, man. I pretty much covered everything, I think, yeah?
Yeah.
Unless scripters wanted to say something.
Yeah, anything else you'd like to say, guys?
I don't know, just that, you know, if anyone else needs scripting contracting done, we can see if we can line you up.
Yeah, these guys will do work for you. And they're pretty fair about their wage and all that. And I can tell you right now, their scripting is very professional. And they're very, if you need anything, they'll answer you as quick as possible. So,
very nice. Very yep. nice.
That's cool.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah. We'll certainly put it out there. Actually, if people listen to this, I mean, there's a lot of Never Winter Nights 1 people listen to this and that do development. I think that they'll be like, yeah, we'll line these guys up after they see all the ridiculous stuff you put on.
Well, there's a lot of their systems are coming in Border Kingdoms, that's for sure.
We did try to be very fair, and we did try to do good work. So.
Well, that's awesome, guys. You know, and I'm really, this is something that Witch King from the Rise of Sauron was pinging me. He's one of our PW Alliance members, Neverwinter Nights 2, but he was pinging me about it, and he's like, and I was telling him, I was like, hey, these guys got a lot of excitement. These guys got a lot of enthusiasm about what they're doing. Because, you know, I think that that's something that, you know, it's really good to get out there, that there is this level of excitement and dedication to the community still to build these types of servers and these types of projects. Because I think what ends up happening otherwise, I mean, and you make it home, you know, you've read on the Neverwinter Nights community group, you know, it's pretty bad morale at some points. You know, you see from other developers and things like that, they're like, yeah, it's pretty much done, we're done, you know, type of mentality.
I'm absolutely elated to see there's so much, there's still a hype in this kind of a server in a game that's over 10 years old now, and we're getting like over 100 visitors a day on our website, you know, just yep. looking at it. So I'm just like, I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, and like I said, we're here too. I mean, if you need any, we want to throw any more updates out, you know where to find me.
Oh, that's great, thanks, man. I appreciate
you, it. You know that, you know, our focus is, you know, remaining true to the community, but, you know, also like as you and I talked about two weeks ago, you know, we're moving into the Neverwinter realm as well, and, you know, moving to that platform as soon as we're
just
able.
Just call yourself Neverwinter.
Yeah.
Podcast of all.
Well, you know. The official tagline is, you know, Neverwinter Nights game series and the upcoming MMO Neverwinter. So,
yeah, you guys actually talked to a Cryptip executive. I actually listened to that interview. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's very exciting for the. I think it's very exciting from a lot of different angles. You know, looking at the fact that, you know, we're actively, you know, talking with the fine folks at Cryptic and Perfect World Entertainment, and, you know, they're interested in our feedback and wanting to know, you know, our experiences and also get their message out through us as well. I think that just goes to show how committed they are to the community, the Neverwinter Nights series community as well, not just the new players that are going to be coming on to check Neverwinter out. And I think that's really cool. I think it's cool that they're doing that, and I think the sky's the limit. You know, depending on how the foundry shakes out, I think the sky's going to be a limit for that project as well.
Well, hopefully. I hope so. I was a bit skeptical on their tool set, but I'll definitely try out Neverwinter. So yep. it's such an old game, man. You can't, I've been playing it for so long that you just can't steer away from it.
No, well, it's just something that Shane told us. He was the former executive producer of the project. He brought up very well. Yeah, it's not the same game, obviously. It's not the same franchise. But what it is it's the same region. It's the same setting. And, you know, the principle and the idea behind it are very similar. You know, yeah, it's not the exact same thing. No. But as I pointed out, and I said they'll probably burn my house down over, is the fact that I don't think it should be the same. You know?
Yeah.
You want to play Neverwinter Nights, guess what? You can play Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, actually hearing rumors now. I've been hearing rumors in a couple forums and a couple other places that there's somebody that's been talking about remaking Neverwinter Nights 1, doing a remastered, I heard.
Yeah, that's totally possible. You know, that's totally possible, but regardless, I mean, you get the point, though.
The point
is, you don't replace the franchise, the Neverwinter Nights franchise. What you do is you build something new, and like they're doing, Neverwinter, which is something entirely different, and it has a whole other subset or set of possibilities that the original game, the Neverwinter Nights series of games could not accomplish. And I think that that's, or wasn't designed to accomplish for that matter. You know, they're two separate goals.
Well, they're two separate things. I mean, is it really, you can see the goals each game. I mean, I can tell that they're probably going to have a very interesting storyline and a very interesting plot to it. Well, Neverwinter Nights is more, I guess, Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2 is more designed towards a community and community foundation for its, I guess, multiplayer, you know?
Yep.
But they have their own tool set and stuff like that, too. But, yeah, you know.
Well, we're certainly going to be keeping an eye on it. you can count on that. So, well, you know, in closing, you know, everybody listening to this episode, hopefully, if you're still never wearing a nice one player, definitely go check it out. Check out the Border Kingdoms July 20. You know,
I don't care what player you are. Just come on over, man.
yeah, we'll put a ping out there, too, on the podcast, on the forum, you know, stuff to put it out there and say, hey guys, you know, just a reminder, this is rolling out the 20th, so
definitely
check it out. And you know, as I always say, you get the closing line.
Get in game, level up, guys.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.